This one, as soon as I saw it, I thought, I cannot believe that this kind of thing can actually be happening. We're going to find out about people doing the worst things to animals to for show. Now, I've said in the past, you know, I think, you know, some instances, people are nuts. You know, and for those of you who are into dog shows and everything, I don't knock that. If the dog enjoys it and you enjoy it, as long as you treat the animal right, but when you start doing things to animals that should not be done just to make them look good, and it's not even making the animal look good. Those people are living through those animals. I'd like to see this done to them. Wait till you hear this one. It will shock you. So would you believe that some horse trainers deliberately inflict pain using caustic chemicals and devices to injure the animal's front legs and hooves that forces them to perform a high-stepping gait, which is artificial, by the way, anyway. It's called the Big Lick Gait, but the Humane Society of the United States calls it soaring the horses and are asking the federal government to put an end to this painful and abusive action. Now, Keith Dane is Senior Advisor of Equine Protection for the Humane Society, and hopefully he can fill us in on this one. Keith, nice to have you with us on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Mary Jane.
Okay, you know what? I can't even believe that somebody is doing this. These are Tennessee walking horses, correct?
That's right. Tennessee walking horses and a couple of other related breeds all being essentially tortured just for a performance in the show ring and to get blue ribbons in the show ring.
So when did this start? I mean, there are some horses that do that. I mean, we saw the Lipitzer horses. They seem to have a natural affinity to doing that. But this is not natural for them. Why would they want to do that?
Well, the people in the Tennessee walking horse breed over 50 years ago decided that they wanted to make their horse into a flashy show horse. The horse was originally bred as a plantation horse in the Deep South and was used to carry its rider smoothly around the plantations or to church on Sunday or whatever. And the breeders of the industry decided they wanted to compete with some of these other breeds that do have a flashy gait and do it naturally. And they started to devise ways to figure out how to make the horse, to force the horse to perform with this exaggerated gait. And it gradually over years got worse and worse. The standard was getting higher and higher in terms of how high the horse was required to step in order to win a ribbon. And it was just sort of like a chemical warfare that began when they started using these caustic chemicals on the horse's ankles or pasterns to cause them so much pain that they couldn't really stand still. They had to move, and they had to keep throwing their feet higher and higher to try to get away from the pain and take the weight off their front legs.
Abominable to even think that this kind of thing is happening. So what happens to the horse eventually? I mean, do they cripple them and then they die? I mean, what happens?
Some of the horses are soared, and soaring is the process of using these chemicals in combination with chains and other devices. Some of the horses are soared so badly that they can die. Several have been known to die from a condition called colic, which is essentially created by stress to the horse's physical system. Sometimes they are able to be rehabilitated after they've come out of their show ring careers. And another trend that we've seen that's kind of sickening is that when people decide that these horses are no longer competitive, they just take them to a local auction and dump them, and quite often they end up in the horse slaughter pipeline in North America. So these folks really don't care about the welfare of their horses. They're just looking to make a buck and doing this for entertainment purposes.
Well, they don't look at life. I mean, I don't think they appreciate human life either. That's the kind of person that you don't even want to know a person like that, if you know what I mean. So the idea for the gate, how long ago did they start doing this?
Oh, over 50 years ago. Back in the 1950s, this started. And by the end of the 1960s, it was so bad that the federal Congress got involved and passed the Horse Protection Act of 1970, which was supposed to end this practice.
Well, where are they? Why aren't they doing something about it? There's a law. It's against the law, and they're allowing it. Who the heck is allowing it?
Well, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is responsible for enforcement, but unfortunately, the people in this industry, or this segment of the industry, are so determined to keep doing this, they've found ways to hide it. So, for example, USDA or industry inspectors are supposed to examine a horse before it's entered into a show, and they found ways to camouflage the fact that the horse is in pain temporarily. They use things like lidocaine or benzocaine, topical anesthetics that will mask the pain long enough to get the horse through inspection, and then when the horse goes in the ring, he's sore again, and he's doing that high-stepping gait. So it's very difficult to catch these people under the current law and the current regulations.
Wait a minute. If they even go into the ring and do this, it's not normal anyway. Doesn't that give you a clue that something is being done to this animal that should not be done to this animal?
Sure it does, and we've always maintained that this gait can't be produced any other way than by, you know, creating this pain and torture for the horses. But unfortunately, the law is written such that you have to be able to prove that the horse is in pain, not just doing the big lick artificial gait. So it's been sort of a cat and mouse game between USDA and the violators trying to catch them. And unfortunately, the law doesn't allocate enough resources to USDA to get to all of the shows. In fact, they can only get to about 10% of the shows.
There
are efforts underway to try to fix this that I'd love to share with your listeners.
Yeah, please.
In 2014, the PAST Act, the Prevent All Soaring Tactics Act, was introduced in Congress by several lawmakers, both in the House and the Senate, and it's had huge, overwhelming support from the horse industry, the veterinary community, law enforcement agencies, and a majority of co-sponsors in both houses of Congress. So more than half of the members of Congress in both houses have said, we support this bill, and we'll vote on it if it comes up for a vote. But unfortunately, there are some powerful political leaders who have managed to block the bill from getting a vote in both the last and this current Congress. So,
what would be the reason to block it? Because they're going to get votes from these people that are doing the maiming?
Votes and campaign contributions. There's been a long history of people involved in this industry contributing to the political campaigns of some southern legislators who have now done their bidding and helped to block this bill.
Gotcha.
So the USDA has, under the law, regulations which govern how the law will be enforced and how they're going to allow it to be enforced. And so we've been pressing them for years now to tighten things up in their own regulations, do things that the law could be done to change but can also be done through regulation. And the USDA put out a proposed rule in July of this year which would eliminate a lot of these loopholes that have allowed this to continue. And they've extended the comment period, the public comment period, for soliciting input from the public until October 26th, which is just a couple of weeks away now. At the end of that period, we hope that they will move swiftly to implement this rule and take the first step, the first big step, in ending this horrible practice once and for all. So we're asking people to...
What's it going to get them off their butts to do something?
Well, they have told us, they've told the public that they're planning to do this and they're, you know, determined to bring an end to this problem. We need to get the public engaged. We've got tens of thousands of people who've commented already, but we need more. I attended a public hearing, a public listening session there in Sacramento in August of this year, and Priscilla Presley attended, and several horse advocates from the Sacramento area and around California attended and spoke in favor of this. But we need thousands more people to comment on this rule, and they can do that by going to the Humane Society's website. The address is humanesociety.org/HPARULE, HPA rule, because this is a Horse Protection Act or HPA rule that is being proposed. So again, it's humanesociety.org/HPARULE, and all they have to do is click on there and enter their address, and it'll go directly to the USDA. So we're asking people to please take that step. Please help us end this horrible, horrible practice to horses.
It boggles my mind to think of this kind of cruelty going on, and for what reason? Because you put them in a show ring? I mean, there's got to be something monetarily. There's got to be some bottom line bucks here that they can make more money by doing that. Is that true?
Well, if you want to win in the top echelon of this breed, the walking horse breed, you have to do this, and you have to compete, and you have to sort the horses in order to win. For the owners of the horses, it's all about ego. You know, they want to see their horse win. They want to have their friends come and watch their horse win. For the trainers that are doing this and the farriers, the blacksmiths that are doing this to these horses, it is all about money. Because if they don't have a horse that's winning, their clients are going to go to another trainer who will do it. And we've always said, you know, the first walking horse, big lick trainer that stops soaring is the first one to go out of business. You know,
I don't understand is that I always thought that, you know, you promote what the animal was meant to do or meant to be. And walking with a high lit gait was not one of them for these Tennessee horses. Like you said, they took people to church on Sunday. They were the workhorses. I just don't understand it. People who are judging this kind of thing, why would they even give credit to someone because they're doing that? Because it ain't normal.
Right, it's totally unnatural. And if you ever see a video or see a live performance of these horses, they look freakish. They look like machines. They don't even look like horses anymore, or caricatures of horses, I guess you could say. But the reason that the judges are tying or rewarding these horses is because they're trainers themselves. All the judges are trainers, and the trainers are judges. So they like this look. The owners and the spectators like this look. They have to do this to them to get it, and the judges reward it because that's what the customers want and the spectators want.
That's what they believe
they want. Now, there is a whole big segment of the walking horse industry that still shows the horses in their natural state, the way that they were bred and raised to perform and to to move. And it's beautiful. It's lovely. It's a very smooth ride. It's one of the smoothest riding horses in the world. And the people that are treating their horses humanely and showing them in this fashion are the ones that are getting, aside from the horses, of course, the ones that are really getting damaged by this because, as I said, the upper echelon is where the soaring is taking place. That's where the biggest money is made in the shows. That's where the highest breeding fees for the stallions are, the highest sale prices. And the people that are being rewarded for bringing out the horse's natural ability are the ones that are getting damaged. And that's really what the Horse Protection Act was really originally intended to do, was to protect not only the horses, but the consumers and participants who were treating their horses humanely. So these regulations that they go through will really change the game for those animals and those humane horsemen.
For those who are caught, or if they can catch them, what is it? Is it a fine? They should be fined, should be cruelty to animals, should be jail time too. What do they do to these people if they do catch them?
Well, the few people that do get caught, because as I said, USDA can only get to about 10% of the shows, and the violators are finding ways to camouflage their abuse. The few that do get caught are supposed to be fined and also disqualified from showing for a period of time. And there are also criminal penalties under the federal law, the Horse Protection Act, as well as some state laws. Unfortunately, resources being what they are, not many cases get prosecuted. We've actually, at the Humane Society of the United States, done undercover investigations and provided the evidence to law enforcement, which has led to federal criminal prosecutions. We conducted an investigation last year in 2015 of Thor Sport Farm, which is a big training operation in Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee, and we turned the evidence over to local law enforcement, and they refused to do anything about it. So, you know, we can't rely on the states or the local municipalities to handle this. It really needs to be a federal solution, and the USDA has the ability to implement that. And like I said, we're hoping they do that swiftly this year.
So if they do it, though, I mean, what are they going to do then? Add more people? Go to more shows? What will be done if, you know, the Horse Protection Act is enforced?
So up until now, as a result of a 1976 amendment to the Act, the industry has largely been allowed to self-police. The USDA can only get to a small number of shows, and so Congress told the agency, you set up a program whereby horse show management can ensure that horses aren't being soared when they're being shown. The problem, once again, is the inspectors and the programs that are set up within the industry to do the inspections are all run
guess,
by
people trainers,
who are
right?
Yeah, they're run by people who are doing this or rewarding it or like it. So they quite often turn a blind eye to violations even when they find them. And that's what the USDA's own Office of the Inspector General found when they conducted an audit that was released in 2010. So we've been waiting ever since that audit came out for USDA to do something about it, and finally now they are using their authority, and they're going to get rid of the industry self-policing system altogether and set up a system where USDA will train and license the vets that are going to do the inspections. The show management can still retain their services just like they do now, so there won't be any new cost to the taxpayer, but the USDA will be the ones overseeing them, not the industry goons that are responsible for allowing these horses to get in this condition in the first place.
I mean, seeing, and I know you've seen a lot more than I have, just hearing about it to me means it's almost like I wish it would be done to a few of these trainers so they know what it feels like.
Well, you know, a lot of people that hear about this problem say that, and of course, we're the Humane Society of the United States. We don't want any being to suffer, but yeah, there definitely there needs to be a greater deterrent against people who are going to do this to these animals for sure.
Amazing. Okay, give that website again, and is there when we go to, and it's humanesociety.org/HPA rule, correct?
Exactly, that's it.
And when we go there, make comments or what?
So the website, the web page has some suggested comments there. So for people that aren't familiar with this issue, all they have to do is put in their name and address and click send, and it'll automatically go. If people want to customize the comments that are there, they can. There's a whole big section where they can add more comments or even start over with a whole new message. But for those folks that aren't familiar with the issue, we've drafted a suggested comment that people can just automatically send as theirs.
Yeah, what I'd like to do is just, you know, put them in jail. Like, you know, jail them, that's it. If you jail enough of them, maybe it'll stop. I don't know.
There's only been one federal prosecution that's ended up with a jail term. And part of the problem, Mary Jane, is that the federal law treats the violation of showing a sore horse as a misdemeanor. Well, when you look at federal prosecutors, they have capital cases, you know, drug cases, murders, gangs, and very serious crimes that are felonies, you know, Class A felonies to prosecute, and most of them just don't have the time and the resources to make these cases a priority. Now, we did find one great prosecutor in the Central District of Tennessee who was willing to come forward and make this an issue because his daughter loves horses and, you know, told her daddy that he should speak up for the horses, which he did. He did a great job. His name is Stephen
Neff. And the public, too. Don't attend these shows.
Absolutely. Well, fortunately, the changing, evolving ethics of society is shunning events like this and cockfighting and dogfighting to a large extent. And the attendance at these shows has dropped off dramatically. In fact, it is a shrinking segment of the industry. But there's still way too much, you know, of this abuse going on, which is why we continue to fight it until it's over and done with altogether. But, yes, the public should definitely stay away from these events, boycott them, don't support anybody who is a sponsor of these events, and, you know, send a message with your dollars that you're not going to condone this animal cruelty.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today. Boy, I'm for it. I'm going to the site, and I encourage everybody else to go to humanesociety.org/, and that's a forward slash, right?
Yes, forward slash.
Okay, forward slash HPA, which stands for Horse Protection Act, HPA rule. And make your voice heard. I mean, that's the only way. You got to force people to do stuff or also just sit on their laurels and do nothing, right?
Absolutely. We've got to get them engaged and let them know that they have our backs, or we have their backs.
Now, would you keep me posted on what's happening?
Absolutely, I'd love to, and I greatly appreciate your educating your readers about this issue and keeping them posted as well.
Just keep me posted. Give me a call. You got my number. Give me a call and let me know what the update is, okay?
I will for sure.
Thank you, Keith.
Thanks so much for having me on, Mary Jane.
You betcha, anytime, you know that. Keith Dane, Senior Advisor of Equine Protection for the Humane Society. And again, you go to humanesociety.org/HPA rule. Make your voice heard. You know, we are a civilized, I thought, a civilized society, but I'm finding out that there are barbarians out there. And the only way it'll change is if you do make your voice heard. Stay with us. More coming your way right here on Pop Off.